Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can gather and just learn more about what you say in your word about the Proverbs 31 woman. Lord, I just pray for Melissa right now as she speaks that you would give her the words to say, bring clarity to her mind, and help her to share the message that you have laid on her heart, Lord. And I'm thankful for each and every woman here. Help us to continue to grow and in our love for you, but then in our treasuring you, and then also loving those around us that you have brought into our lives. In your name I pray. Amen.
So Jolene asked if I would share this morning at the Proverbs 31, Pursuing Excellence as a Daughter of the King. And she, when I asked her what my topic or focus would be, she said excellence. And I always feel like she gives me the really hard ones. last year I had how to submit to your husband. This year I have how to be excellent. I don't claim to be an expert on either of those things, but definitely something I'm working on. Proverbs 31:10 says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. And later in Proverbs 31:29, it says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So I was thinking about the word excellent. And when I think of that word, I think of like a job well done. Most of you know that in addition to being a pastor's wife, I teach first grade at Hilltop, the local elementary school in town. And you know, as I grade my students' papers, I love putting stickers on them because that's what they like, right? And they save the ones that say excellent for the ones in my class that did the best. They got the perfect score. And so if you think about how you're doing as an excellent woman, wife, mother, sister, daughter, friend, would you get the sticker? I wouldn't. Maybe a good try, or maybe try again. Take this home and practice. And funny enough, when you look back to the Old Testament, the word excellent is used over 200 times to describe men during war in the army. Sometimes I feel like I'm preparing for going through the war, thinking about terrible twos, terrible 15s. It refers to a force and is variously treated as or translated as able, capable, mighty, strong, valiant, powerful, efficient, wealthy, and worthy, depending on the context. And as I think through this list and where do I fall, sometimes I'm able or capable. Occasionally, I'm mighty or strong. Really never thought to describe myself as valiant or powerful, efficient, maybe, wealthy, no, not in the physical sense, worthy. So not doing so well so far. So maybe you should have chosen someone. and then as you continue to look what excellent means throughout the Bible, it also means virtuous. So in Exodus 18:25, Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Joshua 1:14, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. And all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them. Later in Joshua 6:2-3, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. And in Ruth 2:1, it says, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. In 1 Samuel 9:1, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zerah, son of Bechareth, son of Athiath, a Benjaminite, a man of wealth. So again, being able, valor, worthy, wealth. And then we go on to our study for today, Proverbs 31. We learn that an excellent woman is trusted, kind, fears the Lord, is blessed by her children. She's careful, praised, not afraid. She's a worker with hands. She's wise, generous, good to her husband, of exceptional worth, and is respectful to her husband. That's a lot, and this is something that the Lord wants all of us, wives or women, to be. And in Genesis 2:18, it tells us that God's will for every Christian wife and woman is that her first ministry to be to her husband, not the kids, not the church, not the soccer team or the PTA or the neighbors. And in fact, when this priority is in place, all the others take on their proper proportion and tend to flourish. So how in the world are we supposed to do this? In John chapter 14, verses 12 to 13, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I think most of us do pretty good in the asking part. Help me not be anxious. Help me to be kind. Help me to be loving. But it's the second part that's the most important to remember, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And as we pursue these traits, God begins to transform us into the women he wants us to be. He wants us to be all these things. And fortunately, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. And over the next 3 years, we're going to be studying the verses in Proverbs 31 as we learn more about each of the virtues and qualities that God wants us to possess. So as you think about being an excellent woman, if you continue to read in Proverbs, starting in 31 verse 11, it talks about all the different virtues and qualities that God wants us to possess. And when I was asking Dave, because I'm lucky that I have the pastor as my husband, he was like, no, you can't talk about those things. That's what's coming later. You have to just focus on the excellent. And so I was like, oh, okay. So we're going to look at a few examples from the Bible of women who are excellent. Funny enough, or ironic, whatever, however you want to say it, the word excellent, or that, word, was only used 4 times in the Bible to describe women. And so we first see it in the story of Ruth and Boaz. And Ruth was committed to God and his people, which actually required leaving her own. She possessed a strong work ethic. She listened to good advice. She showed respect to others. She cared for the needy. She sought to marry a noble man and was praised for her excellence and love for others. And when her husband died, she remained with her mother-in-law. Boaz called Ruth worthy. She was loyal and determined to stay with Naomi. She was caring, strong, and hardworking, going into the fields day after day. It was hard work. Who can be a Ruth? I know it's really hard. My friend Courtney is. She was my first example of a Ruth. When Dave and I were in college, we had grown up as non-believers. And I grew up Catholic, so I knew who God was, but I didn't have that personal relationship with him. And so as we started going to church together, I learned what it means to be a Christian is not all these things that you do, but instead what Christ has already done for us on the cross. And so after we became Christians, Courtney and her husband Kevin were in our small group, and they just invited us to be in, like, part of their lives. And so she really emulated what it looks like, was my first example of being that excellent woman, how to be a kind friend, how to be a good wife to her husband, how to be a good mother. And so she showed us that day in and day out, because she practically just invited us to be part of their lives. I know you don't know my friend Courtney, but you do know our Monica. And she's my other example of someone that's like a Ruth. When she and Roger first came to our church in 2009, she had just come off the mission field. She's definitely someone who emulates Christ's example. She loved her church. I'm sorry, she loved her husband, her children, and her grandchildren. She served alongside me in the children's ministries. She served on hospitality and played the piano for worship team. She's led the women's ministries team formally and informally for years. She's counseled many women, shared about Christ with those who don't know him. And these last several years, she's taken on a new role as an excellent wife, caretaker. And as she tends to Roger's needs while still allowing him to lead the head of the household, it's by God's grace alone. And while being a kind friend to me and so many others, she's hospice and hospitality all at the same time. She is a virtuous woman. Proverbs 12:4 is another example of when it talks about an excellent wife. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like the rottenness of his bones. And then again in Proverbs 31:29, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So being an excellent woman or wife means we are to be caring, hardworking, loyal, worthy. It's a rarity, more precious than rubies, pearls, jewels. This quality surpasses them all. We will be the crowns for our husbands. Proverbs 18:22 tells us that we are a good thing for our husband, and in finding us, they obtain favor from the Lord. Just trying to be the Proverbs 31 woman is going to be exhausting, and I've got plenty of experience here. Trying to live life in the power of our own strength, my strength, doesn't work, at least not for long. I think when I was first married, not growing up in a Christian home, I tried to do all the things. You know, it's like, okay, there's this list of what this Proverbs 31 woman is. And you try to do these things, But if you're not asking for God's strength and his power to do it, all you end up being is exhausted. And so therefore the key for us here is not merely trying, but trusting. Trusting God's promise for us in Christ as we learn to live in the power of the Spirit. So then you think, well, how did Ruth do this? She's the great-grandmother of King David who lived 1,000 years ago before Christ. Well, she needed a savior. We all need a savior. She would have sought to found her forgiveness through the sacrificial system, and those sacrifices point us to Jesus. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. The Proverbs 31 woman today isn't only an excellent woman, she's a forgiven woman. She's found atonement in Christ. She is a pardoned woman. We have all rebelled against God and need pardon for our sins. In the gospel, we have that pardon. But thanks be to God, he not only offers us pardon in the gospel, but power. Power to live in the strength that God supplies to the glory that Christ deserves. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us that whoever serves ought to do so by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So a godly woman doesn't pursue excellence out of her own resources. Those resources come from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:5 asks, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The implied answer to Paul's question, of course, is faith. God supplies the Holy Spirit. He fills us with his Spirit as we learn to trust the promises of God. So we look to the cross for pardon, and we look to the Holy Spirit for empowerment. The Spirit fills us as we hear his promises with faith. Over the years, I've learned to collect a whole lot of promises that I can trust in times when I need God's strength and power. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Philippians 4:6-7, it talks about do not be anxious, but instead be filled with the peace of God. And in James 1:17-19b, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of God does not produce the righteousness of God. And those things are hard. In the heat of the moment, they can be really hard. But if we remember the logic of Romans 8:32, it will give us boldness to ask, even expect those things. For Romans 8:32 says, if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He crucified his son for us. Surely he's willing and able to empower us to be slow to speak and slow to anger. God wants to help us in our pursuit of excellence. So as we ask God for help, we can be assured that he will help us. In John 14:6-7, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And when we mess up, and I know I will and do, we can come to God and let him know we need a do-over. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we confess our sins and ask God for his strength and power to be an excellent wife, mother, daughter, friend, he will supply what we need to do this. And I found that for me, like I said, to not be in my own, or to try to do it on my own, that I need to be in God's word. And so one practical way that I've just found that works for me is I have to get up early before my day starts, before my family starts their day, and get time to spend with God, which means getting up out of bed, leaving the dog and Dave, and coming out into the kitchen, thank goodness for coffee, making coffee, and sitting and, you know, being in God's word, praying, having fellowship with God, asking God for his strength, for his help to fill me with his grace and power. And then I can pray for Dave and my kids and my friends and my neighbors and then start my day. But that's how I've really found that working towards that idea of being excellent. And again, it's that list of, you know, all the things that God wants us to do, and he wants to help us. He wants to supply us with that power, but we have to allow him to fill us up with that. One of the things when Jolene gave me the paper that was talking about, you know, here's how to do the little study or whatever, it had on there, you know, like, obviously use the Bible as you're preparing, but also if you have other resources. And I just wanted to share one resource with you if you're interested in learning more. This is a book that, I don't know if Dave bought it for me or if someone early on in our marriage bought it for me and or Dave and I. But it's called The Excellent Wife, and it's by Martha Peace. And she is a biblical counselor. And if you haven't read it, or if you're looking just for another, like, how to get in and get dirty and how to really pursue this, I'd highly recommend it. I mean, she has a crazy backstory. She wasn't a believer, really trying to just do life on her own, being married. And it wasn't until she was, maybe 10, 15 years into her marriage and had kids, where she was really floundering and came to know the Lord. And gosh, she just did a full 360 on her. But it is a really, really good book. And I mean, it's just filled with scripture, filled with all kinds of things. But it takes each of those and it really breaks it down into being an excellent wife as part of like what our understanding of it is. Then it talks about our responsibility, and then it talks about a wife's submission and a wife's some concerns, whether you maybe have anxiety or if you're grieving. And I think about just where all of us are in our different life stages. Obviously some of us are married. Some of us have been married and have lost a husband. Some people have been married and are no longer with their husbands. Some are going to be married. Or maybe one day will be. I think all of these things can apply to our life no matter what stage you are, because in the Bible, you know, when it was written, they were assuming that most women would be married. And so we can use this as an example for our lives. And so I think this morning when we break up into groups, we're going to get an opportunity to talk about what are some of the things that you can do. You know, first of all, kind of do an assessment of where you are in your pursuit of excellence. And then what are some of your next steps that you can take as you pursue excellence? Yeah, is that okay? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are the Almighty King and good and Heavenly Father for us all, Lord. And I thank you that the excellent woman and wife is who you want us to be, Lord. And I thank you that even though it's a daunting task, Lord, that you supply us with what we need, Lord. And I thank you that we can come to you and ask for your help, Lord. I thank you that we can ask for your pardon and your power, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to fill us and transform us into the women that you want us to be, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we are meeting with one another, Lord, that you would just give us wisdom, Lord, and fruitful steps that we can take, Lord, as we are moving in this pursuit of excellence for you, Lord. I pray this in your Son, Jesus' name.